Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat is 623 and a quarter down 8. Soft March wheat, 582 and three quarters down 9. March corn, 399 and a half down 5 and a half. May, 408 and a quarter down 5 and a quarter. July, 415 down 5 and a quarter. December at 423 and a half is down 4 and three quarters. January soybeans, 1048 and three quarters, down 2 and a quarter. March, 1052 and three quarters, down 2 and three quarters. July, 1063, down 3. January soybean meal, 366, down 480. January soybean oils, 32.98, up 29. February live cattle, 165, 62 and a half, up 40. Make that down 40, excuse me. January feeders are 224, 40, down 30. And February lean hogs are 79, 57 and a half. They're up a dollar. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, chilly morning, Dave.
I want to spend some time with you, Mark, talking about Mike talking about the treasuries, because the short-term treasuries have potentially, because of inflation, could go up, but the 10-year treasuries are not following suit. They're actually going down, and they're going down significantly. And in the climate of oil under $50 a barrel, Could you tell us the relationship between those three things and how then it comes back to grains?
Yeah, I think the big thing we want to keep in mind with that 10-year benchmark, Dave, because it is what the Fed uses to keep most of its debt on the books, is you're probably seeing a safe haven buying mindset take over because of the fear of this crude oil dropping below $50 a barrel for the West Texas New York crude, and the idea that the deflationary pressure is increasing because of weaker global demand. And we got data again overnight and this morning that would suggest that that's the right path to be on, because we had real nice private employment data from the United States. We had a U.S. trade deficit that hit an 11-month low. Those two things are dollar-friendly. Meanwhile, the Europeans went into deflation, and it's going to put a lot more pressure on Mario Draghi to continue to work into a quantitative easing mindset. And so this brings us into a safe haven buying mindset, I think, when it comes to the bonds. The second thing, and related to that, is the Treasury yields are probably dropping on the 10-year because more financial market traders are thinking that the Federal Reserve will not raise rates by mid-2015, that they will pause and maybe push it out even further into later 2015, because of some of this recent economic data coming through in the rest of the world, and especially with these crude oil prices plummeting. I mean, we're tracking in crude oil what we did in iron ore earlier in the year, down about 50-plus percent, and that's specifically related to China and Europe and Japan.
Doesn't that put banks sort of in a hard place between a rock and a wall?
Well, I think it does, and I think this is where, you know, for the commodity sector, this could be the best medicine in the long term, meaning 6 months down the road, because we've seen copper and iron ore and crude oil prices drop so substantially. Asia could benefit the most from this 6 months from now, but it's going to take some time to work through this, and this is where the stock market comes into play and the bonds come into play. If you have a sharply lower stock market and interest rates start to rise, you're probably going to offset the good that these lower commodity prices are doing when it comes to Asia and when it comes to the financial market as a whole. So I get more and more friendly commodities as we get into the middle part of the calendar year if we don't see interest rates go sharply higher and we don't see the equities market sell off and go into a bear market.
So are we looking March on to be more bullish?
You know, it's interesting because I just got done running the 97, 98, and 99 Dease corn, because that's where we're headed in the dollar as far as the macroeconomics. The Goldilocks economy of the late 1990s, you and I talked about at the end of the year last year, and we're running that model very nicely right now. We have got the Russian currency crisis. We've got the dollar breaking out to levels not seen since 04, 05. And when I look at those prices for DEES 97, 98, 99 corn, we went down in the springtime and made major lows in July for both 97 and 99 DEES futures. And so I would say the late spring, early summertime period would be where I'd try and hone that in.
So if I have cash, I should be in no hurry to sell.
No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is a V-type price trend, and you bring up a huge point here. I'm not saying don't sell. I'm not saying wait for the low. I'm saying sell it into the springtime market in case we do have a financial market and a financial crisis redevelop like we saw in 08, 09. And so I'm saying be flexible, though, so that if you hedge cash bushels now into March and you want to buy some of those back, be ready to buy some of those back. If you hedge paper positions, be ready to lift those in the June, July time frame.
What does it mean for consumers going into next summer?
Well, the consumer should be the best winner here, but here again it goes back to their borrowing costs and how the banks treat them, Dave. And I think this is where if your credit card bill starts to go up because interest rates are going up, that takes away from the friendliness of the energy prices going down at the gas pump. And I know that's a simplistic way to look at it, but it really does boil down to that when it comes to consumption. Keep in mind, the United States and China and their economic development in 2015 are going to be a lot more similar. China's going to rely more upon their domestic consumers, so they better be in a good situation or China may slip below 7% growth, which means unemployment starts to go up in China.
All right, let's go way back to the very close near term, and that would mean Monday, Super Bowl Monday, four reports due out. Everybody's putting their emphasis on crop production with lower potential numbers and maybe a lower ending stock number because of it. I want to look, though, at the quarterly grain stock report. There could be some surprises there.
Yes, I think it could be. I think the trade is ramping up for some of the biggest bean stocks since 2006, 2007. And I think this is going to be a major player. I'm glad you brought that up because it's not just going to be about the U.S. ending stocks for beans. And whether we go below 400 million, it's going to be also who's holding those stocks as of the 1st of December. And if we do see a big increase in the grain stocks for soybeans on that report and the farmers holding most of it, it could diminish the friendliness of a lower U.S. ending stocks number.
What else should we be looking at when we see 11 o'clock come by?
Well, I think we've also tended to push away because of the importance of the FSA acreage data and the yield and the late harvest and the potential for lighter test weights coming into this January crop report. I think the winter wheat seedings take on an added measure of importance because wheat all of a sudden is getting bought by China in terms of high-quality wheat, and we've got a real weather market starting to brew in the United States and in Russia. So winter wheat seedings, I think, are extremely important in terms of what drives wheat and weather. They can bring some good support to the corn and continue to help lend support and underpin the corn market.
And some of that's already advertised. We know that it's going to be lower. We just don't know how much lower.
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting because the winter wheat seedings average came out at 52.56. That compares to 42.56. That compares to 42.3. This current marketing year, I was surprised that the average trade guess wasn't a little bit smaller than what it was, and it actually came out bigger than 14. So this comes out to where the trade's leaning on one side, and that means bigger winter wheat acres.
What else do we need to know that is important that we haven't touched on?
Well, I think the big thing for the trend followers is you really do need to follow the momentum side of the equation after the January numbers come out. In other words, I'm getting more and more of the opinion that you do need to keep feeding the bull here after the January crop report because we are pricing in some good weather. We are starting to see ethanol become a little bit sluggish. Good weather meaning poor weather, good weather for the prices. And I think the trade is also starting to recognize that we probably won't have the corn acres, and they're probably trying to keep the December 15 corn prices up a little bit, elevated a little bit because of that. So I think the boat is kind of leaning towards being long corn right here going into the report. I hope the USDA satisfies those longs.
Does December 15 corn have to go another 25 cents to buy back more corn acres?
I think it does unless the November beans want to drop 50 cents. You know, if you would take the November beans down below 975, I think that would scratch a lot of potential bean acres. But Monsanto's earnings came out this morning, and they are indeed pointing to lower corn acres, and it did impact their bottom line on their first quarter results.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You bet, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. March corn is 399.5, down 5.5. May, 408.25, down 5.25. July, 415, down 5.25. December, 423.5, down 4.75. January beans, 10.49.25, down 1.75. March, 10.52.75, down 3. July, 10.62.5, down 3.5. November, 10.22.75, and they are down 6. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time.